is answering the question raised by the people that have come, the Jews and others. Because when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. When this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because they heard every man speak in their own language wherein they were born. Pontus, Medes, and Elamites, from dwellers in Mesopotamia, Judah, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Persian, Pamphylia, strangers of Rome, Jews, and proselytes, heard them speak in their own language the wonderful works of God. And they wanted to know, how hear we all of these in our language? And are not all these which speak Galileans? And then they said, these men are drunk, are full of new wine. Peter said, these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken of the prophet Joel, that it shall come to pass in the last days. And Peter says, the last days are here. And then he began to declare unto them what they needed to do about these last days. And I need you to understand, somebody said, well, preacher, if the last days were there when Peter was preaching, then what are you talking about? See, my message is to remind us that if the last days were there when Peter was preaching, we sure enough ought to be ready, because we may be on the tail end of the last days. Do you hear me? I'm saying, how long are the last days going to last? Because they are the last days. And so the last days mean that the days are going to run out. The time is going to end. You're going to end up with no time left. And if we end up with no time left, the question is, are you ready? Are we ready for the last days to finish? Are we ready for God to call everything to a screeching halt? Are we ready to face the presence of God with where we stand right now? That's a question that I believe every person here needs to find an answer to. And that answer needs to be an answer that you can go into eternity with, because we will be going into eternity. The Bible class this morning, one of the first scriptures that were placed up before us, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. The judgment is going to come, and we're going to stand before the great God of heaven. Time is short, and we are in the last days. God poured out his Spirit, and that's already happened. The day of Pentecost is our evidence. The day of the Lord has arrived, and Jesus himself has already fulfilled his promise when he said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He's already fulfilled that promise. Christ has been resurrected from the grave. He told them, if you destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it up again. On the third day, he rose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. He has already been resurrected. These are evidences that we are indeed in the last days, that they have already arrived. And we're just waiting for the end. We're waiting for the Lord to return for the day of judgment. We're waiting to hear the Lord's announcement as to where we're going to be for all eternity. Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and tells them, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those which are asleep. He wants them to know that he doesn't want them to sorrow as those that have no hope. But if we believe in Jesus Christ, we know that he's going to come. But watch what he tells them, that when the trumpet sounds, the dead shall be raised. Now notice something. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them that are resurrected from the dead. And together we will ascend to be with the Lord. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's going to happen at the very last day. We are in the last days. But the last day is on its way. Now, I got a letter one time, and the letter said, you have 3 days to take care of this before you get your utility shut off. I had gone and forgotten all about it. I had a utility bill to pay. But when I got that letter, that was the end. It's not you need to pay your bill. It now becomes, if you don't pay it in 3 days, you won't have any utilities. And I looked over, I thought about my wife wanting to cook. I thought about my children wanting to use the bathroom. I thought about guests or friends that I have that might want to visit me. I jumped straight up out of my chair, ran and jumped in the car and hurried down to that utility office. I didn't want the chance that the last day would come and I hadn't done anything about it. And that was just to keep utilities on. That was just so I wouldn't have to worry about where I'm going to get the water from, or where I'm going to, what's going to happen when I switch the light switch on, and what's going to happen to that. It had nothing to do with my soul. But now I get another message. And this message says, the last days are here. Are you ready? But it doesn't tell me which day is the very last day. It just tells me that the last days are here. So whatever I'm going to do, I'm going to have to do it before that very last day comes. You can rest assured, anytime you get a notice that says only a few days left, you know from that notice it won't be very long. You may not know which day, but you know you don't have a lot of time. I don't know which day the Lord is going to come back. I do know he's going to come back. I don't know what's going to be going on in this world when he comes back. I do know whatever is going on, he is coming back. And so the responsibility on my part is to be prepared when the Lord comes back, because time is short. What must people do in order to be ready for the Lord's return? What must happen in our lives? You realize that there are folk who claim they love the Lord and know the Lord, and who even live every day and say a prayer here and there, that are not at all ready for the Lord to come back? You know, there are people who go to church every Sunday, who sing praises to God, and even put money in the collection, that are not ready for the Lord to come back. You know, there are people who will even go to the effort of inviting other people to attend the assemblies, but they themselves are not ready for the Lord to come back. And if he should come today, what would happen to us? I think one of the struggles that we deal with is we hear repeatedly that we don't have much time. And we have seen our great-grandparents come and go. And they were told we don't have much time. And then we've seen our grandparents come and go. And they were told we don't have much time. And then we see our parents come and go. And they were told we don't have much time. And now here we have come and almost gone. And we're still being told we don't have much time. So somebody decides there's nothing to that idea that you don't have much time. But you see, there's a problem with that thinking. Here's the problem. Even if this world lasted 1 million more years, you don't have much time. Your number will soon be up, and you will be hurled from the stage of life to the responsibility of death. And you will have to answer to God, regardless of how long the world stands. You do not have much time. Time is moving on, and our lives are short. And that's really what the Hebrew text was saying. It is appointed unto men once to die. He didn't say everybody's going to die at the same time. But it does say that they're all going to die. But that wasn't the point of this text. The rest of it said, after this. It's the after this we got to be concerned about. It's the after this that we must prepare for. It's the after this that we must be conscious of. Because after this, after what? After we die. After you use up your time. After your last day has come. After this, we will stand before the judgment day of God. When we stand before God's judgment, we can't complain. Well, Lord, the world didn't end when I died, so why why am I here? The world doesn't have to end for us to be judged. The world doesn't have to end for us to leave here. The world doesn't have to end for our last day to come. So some people need to understand that to be ready for the last day to come, we must believe and know assuredly the truths of the scripture. After Peter had developed the principle that the prophecy of the last days is already begun and that we are now in the last days, then he appeals to that audience in verse 36. And say, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God have made the same Jesus whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ. When they heard it, they were pricked in their heart, said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promises unto you and to your children and to all that's afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this unto a generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. I want you to develop the same day mentality, because your status with God is determined by what your same day is. They didn't get okay with God back before. It was that day when they heard that message, when they believed that teaching, that they responded to the preaching of Peter. It was that day that they got ready for the last day. Everybody needs the same day in his life. When he makes a decision for the Lord, a decision that he will live for the rest of his life, however long that will be. I started teaching a gentleman some years ago. The gentleman, I didn't know it when I started, was a very sick person. And he had not taken out time to secure his relationship with the Lord. But he started studying with me. His son set the Bible study up. And as we studied together, he became very interested in the study. And I knew he had gone to the hospital and come back home, but I didn't know what the doctor had told him or what the situation was beyond that. You know, we go see people and we pray for them, but we don't know what their possibilities are. And one day, this gentleman calls me on the phone and tells me that I want to be baptized because he'd had several studies. And so I said, very good, I'm coming. And the gentleman was baptized. After he was baptized, within a day or two, he's back into the hospital. And I visit him once more at the hospital. And the next time I hear from this man, is from his family that tells me that this man has expired. His last day was almost there when I started studying with him. His last day was on the verge when he began to get interested in the Word of God to know what was right. And even though he didn't have any idea that he wouldn't be there long enough to spend a lot of time in the Lord, he did have the constitution to say, I now know what I need to know, and I'm ready to obey it. I don't know what a person's last day is, but I know he's living in the last days. And because he's living in the last days, he very well could be the next in line to face his last day. That could be somebody here today that's next in line to face the last day. You ever been in a family and people in your family were dying right and left? And almost every time you got a long distance call from one of your family members, you started cringing because it's going to be another bad news, and you got to the place where you didn't want that phone to ring and see an out-of-state number on it. And then you start thinking, who's next? It's got them. Ain't nobody left but me, so-and-so, and so-and-so. Which one of us coming up next? We're in a world where some of us going to come up next. In a time when we must prepare for what comes next. After this, the writer says, comes the judgment. And so we must believe the message. We must confess faith in Christ. We must repent of our sins. We must be buried with him in the water of grave of baptism for the forgiveness of our sins. That's in order to prepare for last days to come. You see, when you get ready for the last days, then you can wait on the last days. Now, did you hear what I said? See, some people got this backwards. They want to wait till the last day get here and then jump up and get ready. You ever had to pick somebody up and you tell them, I will be there at a certain time and we're going to be running tight on schedule, so you need to be ready when I get there. And you get there and you give them a heads up a few blocks away and says, you know, I'm making a turn at this point and I'm almost there. And they jump up and start getting ready when they get that call. And then when you get there, you're sitting there waiting on edge because every second is ticking away and you're going to be late for whatever appointment it was. When you had warned them and then gave them reminders so they would be ready to walk out the door when you come, because they're sitting there thinking, when they get here, I can jump up and get ready and we can go. It might work if I'm picking you up. It won't work if the Lord is picking you up. If the Lord is picking you up, you're going to have to be ready when he comes. It won't be no, wait a few minutes, Lord. It won't be none of that, I soon come. You're going to have to be ready when the Lord gets here. So this is important for all of us, because Jesus has done what it takes to save us. But we have to take advantage of it by submissive obedience to the Lord. See, there's some of us got some things to fix. We got some things to fix in order to really be ready. You know, be like, you know, we get our trousers on, our shoes on, and all we got to do is put our tie on and throw our coat around us. Well, throwing the coat around us is not so tough. But sometimes the tie don't do just like you want it to do when you're in a hurry. And so it takes a little while. We don't want to be where we can go ahead and finish getting ready, because the Lord doesn't promise to wait on us. And why should he wait on us? He's been waiting on us from eternity. He's been waiting on us all our lives. Some of us are almost 70 years old. And God's been waiting on you all this time. He's been waiting on you to stop whatever devilment you're doing. He's been waiting on you to make things right with whoever you hurt. He's been waiting on you to change your lifestyle and stop doing the sins that keep carrying you down. He's been waiting on you to make up your mind to stand up and be a woman and stand up and be a man. He's been waiting on you to do what you should in school so you'd be ready to do what you should in life. God has already been waiting, but when that day comes, there will be no waiting. There will be no waiting. We'll have to move or we'll be left. See, the question becomes, is there anybody that's going to be all right, that's going to be safe when the Lord comes back? The body of Christ, the church, will be safe. Now, not everybody in the church is going to be safe, but the church will be safe. Well, Brother Harris, what do you mean, not everybody in the church? I mean that there are some folk in the church that's not acting like the church. They're not committed to be the church. They are back and forth with the Lord. The church is going to be all right. The Lord is going to present to himself a glorious church, not having spot, a wrinkle, or any such thing. But Brother Harris, how is he going to do that with all them hypocrites in the church? They ain't going to be there. Because before he presented to himself, he's going to gather out of the kingdom all things that offend and they that do iniquity. He's going to move them out, and then he's going to take the church back with him. And it's going to go without spot or blemish or any such thing. And so the church is going to be all right. The body of Christ is going to be okay. And, you know, if you're torn around with denominationalism, you just need to understand that the Lord's church is going to be okay. That's the only people he promised going to be okay. You can toy around all your life with denominationalism. You can serve in them, you can work in them, you can die in them, but you can't go to heaven in them. If you want to go home with the Lord, you're going to have to do right by the Lord and submit to him and his way. Jesus didn't say, upon these rocks I will build my churches. He said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It's time to make up our mind as to what we're going to do and where we're going to be to please the Lord. And some folk are so conflicted with this. And they'll come to worship here for a few Sundays, and then they go worship over yonder for a few Sundays, and they want to keep them folk happy. They want to keep us happy. They want to try to hold on. So they got two ways of making it. If I can't make it in over here, I can make it in over there. No, you get that straddle of fence, you won't make it at all. To make it home with the Lord, you got to decide. And you got to follow that decision with obedient action, because the voice of God is calling us to surrender to Jesus Christ. And he's coming back for his church, and he's going to present his church as a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. So the church is going to be okay. The Christians that are faithful to the Lord are going to be okay. The little babies are going to be okay. Some of us are going to have gate trouble. But the believers, the faithful believers, are going to be all right. Well, Brother Harris, who made you the judge? Nobody. Well, how can you judge me? I can't. But I can judge this, what the Word of God says. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word has one that judges him. The word that I've spoken, the same will judge him in the last day. I can tell you that the Lord's judgment is going to be based on the holy word of God. Amen. The word our Lord spoke. I can tell you that. And I can stand here and say it until the world comes to an end, because that's what we're going to be judged by. Amen. Amen. And the fact that I don't know who is what doesn't change what that says. Because God knows the heart of every single person. God knows our lives. God knows where we're going, where we've been, and where we're coming from. God is completely aware of our position in this world. And so he's going to be the one that's going to make the final determination. Paul told the people in Athens the same thing. And when he was upon Mars Hill, he declared to them, God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom is ordained, by which is given assurance unto all men, in that he has raised him from the dead. that Jesus is going to be judged. He told the brethren of Ephesus, 2 Timothy chapter 4, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. He says that Christ is going to judge the world at the last day. He says that he is appointed the judge by God. And he said that it is declared by the fact that he rose from the dead. And he knows how to judge. And in case you have any issues about the judgment, John said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things that were written in the books according to their works. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire. We're going to be judged by the word of God and by our actions and deeds while we live in this world. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church and the righteous, but oh my goodness, those that fail to do God's will not be safe. There are folk who think that all churches are headed for the same place, that we're all going in the same way. Do you know what would happen if all cars on the road were going in the same direction? You'd have a big mess. You know why? You can't get where you're going driving the same way as somebody else going in the opposite direction. Y'all going to have a problem on the road. And the problem is going to keep you from getting there and make it hard for somebody else to get there. Only people that's headed toward heaven are the ones that have obeyed the gospel that came from heaven. And Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father which I see and draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. For it is written in the law that every man shall be here and have heard and learn of the Father cometh unto me. We must hear and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ in order to come to Jesus Christ. What about the people today? Maybe your neighbor, your friend, the person that you call your closest friend. Where do they stand and what are you doing to change the outcome for them? Paul writes to the church of Thessalonica, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, says to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flame and fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. People talk about how many things they do that God ought to be happy about. And they forget that it takes just one thing that God is not happy about for you to persist in that can keep you from making it in. When you know you're wrong and you're not doing the will of God and you're too rebellious to change, that's enough to keep you out. If a man keep the whole law and offend in one point, he's guilty of all. And the scripture reminds us that we're judged on the basis of whether we continue in the word. He didn't just say start, but if ye continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. We have to continue. We have to continue doing the will of God. We have to continue teaching people about the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have to continue to do his will. Two things Paul says, they that know not God and they that obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, two things can destroy your soul: ignorance of the truth and rebellion against the truth can cause you to be lost. I don't know can cause you to be lost. I don't care can cause you to be lost. I didn't know can cause you to be lost. I didn't want to can cause you to be lost. You have to not only want to do right, you have to know to do right. We must know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. And therefore, we must not receive the love of God in vain. What I mean, God commended his love toward us. in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If you would bow your head and think very carefully and ask yourself a question. If the Lord Jesus Christ were to come back today, am I ready to go to heaven? Nobody can answer that question for you, but you can answer it. If you say, well, I don't know where I stand, that's an answer. If you say, well, I haven't really thought about it, that's an answer. If you say, well, I would like to, but I don't know what the Bible says, that's an answer. If you say, well, I ain't doing what the Bible says, but I still want to go, that's an answer. We can answer that question, but only we can answer for ourselves. I can answer for me, and you can answer for you. You might, you know, you might see somebody up preaching, and you might say, man, if anybody go to heaven, he's going to go to heaven. That's what we would hope. But only God knows what he knows. And everybody knows what they're doing and what they have done and what they haven't changed in their lives. And if the Lord were to come back today, if this was the last day, what would happen to you? If today were the last day that you were going to live, would you go to heaven today? If you can't say, I would go to heaven today, then maybe there's something you need to do. If you're a Christian and you can't say that, then you need to talk to this leadership about the things you need to change in your life. If you're a person not even a part of the church and can't say that, then you need to come forward today ready to become a Christian, ready to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't worry about what the world thinks. Don't worry about what kinfolk say. You know, because kinfolk will send you to hell. They will cause you to be lost because they want everybody to stay together and nobody to go change. But did you know something? The same kinfolk that will press you to stay in the family religion, press you to live like the family live, and do like the family does, when that kin person dies and he's lost, he will want everything possible to change your course before you get where they are. He would not want you to come where he is. I've heard mothers tell their children, I don't want you to ever have to have the kind of operation I got to have. Fathers tell their sons, I don't ever want you to make the mistake I made. I wasn't there for my children, but I wish to God I had been there. Things I saw happen would not have happened if I had been a different man when I could have been. Why? They don't want us to practice the things that led them where they ended up. Even though they want family to stick together, they more than that want family to be saved. And we see that in the Bible. We see it in the Bible. In the Gospel of Luke, Lazarus at the man's gate, the rich man passing by him daily and didn't even look at him. The Bible says that Lazarus died, was carried by angels in Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and lifted up his eyes in hell, in torment, in the flame. Looked across and sees Lazarus afar off in Abraham's bosom, crying out, Father Abraham, send Lazarus, that he might dip the tip of his finger in water to cool my tongue. Abraham said, not so. There's a great gulf between here and there, and he can't come over there, and you can't come over here. He said, well, send him back to my father's house, because I got five brothers headed where I'm coming, and I want him to tell them not to come the way I've come. Did you hear that? The brother that lived like the rest of the brothers and died like they gonna die doesn't want them to die like he died. He wants them to change even though he didn't change. He wants somebody to go back and warn them and tell them, you don't want to go there. His last day had come, but theirs were on the way. And he wanted somebody to flag them down and turn them around. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, today, God has a message of turning us and letting us know that heaven doesn't want us to go there. The Lord Jesus Christ doesn't want us to go there. The saved don't want us to go there. And even our kinfolk don't want us to go there. And I've heard people say, if you obey the gospel, our grandmother will roll over in her grave. If you leave your church, let me tell you what's going to happen. Your grandmama going to stay dead. And you're going to have to make a decision. And if she did not obey the gospel, she's going to want you to make a decision she didn't make. So you, at least somebody in the family, will be able to go home to live with God. I want my children to go to heaven. I just had my first great-grandchild, or my granddaughter had my first great-grandchild. And one of the things that we did when that child was born is we forecast that child being a part of the family's walk with the Lord, because we want him to go to heaven. And if something should happen and the world takes me away from the Lord, I want him to still walk with Jesus Christ. I want him to go home to live with God. Today you're knocking at the door of your heart, seeking interest in your heart and your life, saying now's the accepted time and now's the day of salvation. And we're in the last days. And the question is, are you ready? You can get ready today. You can get ready today. Come to me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Why not come to Jesus Christ today? Believe in his word, repenting of every sin, confess before me in Christ as the Son of God, and be baptized this day for the remission of your sins. Why not come right now while we stand for the song of invitation? Would you come to Christ today?
Five hundred and thirty-one. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. On that bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather to their home, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn to setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when Brother Harris walked in this morning, I smiled. I smiled. That was a great message, Brother Harris. Great, great message. We appreciate that you always preach straight from the Word. Appreciate that you preach the truth in love. That you preach it so directly. Thank you, Brother Harris. Thank you. And thank you for the medical mission. Thank you. The challenge was, though, so many songs ran through my mind as he was preaching. Didn't know which one to choose. I know we sang this one before, but it was just fitting. No harm in singing it twice, amen? Song number 50, 50. After we sing the first verse of this song, we'll have the chance to take the Lord's Supper. Brother Webb will make the comments at the table. He will serve, and we're asking the following brothers to please serve with him. Brother Selvin Gilbert, Brother Dave Fisher, Brother Jonathan Fisher, Brother Morrison, Brother Myrie, Brother Wilson O'Neill, Brother Smith, and Brother Peart. That's Brothers Gilbert, Fisher D, Fisher J, Morrison, Myrie, Wilson, Smith, and Peart. Song 50, 50. God has smiled on me.